5. We're to the last one. We've been doing the words from the cross. Jesus said 7 different recorded things in Scripture while He was on the cross. We've gone through 6 of them. And today's the 7th and final one. And it is finished. This is John 19. Only John records this. And John was standing there, so John heard it. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, why was He given the vinegar wine? He said, I thirst, and He was given vinegar to drink. What did that fulfill? It fulfilled the Psalms that said, I thirst, and that my enemies give me vinegar to drink. And after that, you have all the promises of how God's going to destroy those people. And every one of them came true on Jerusalem and the Pharisees. So, He said, I'm thirst. He received the vinegar. And after that, He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, which is a quote from a psalm. That's the psalm which tells absolute faith in God, saving and redeeming the afflicted. Jesus used the quote of a psalm that talks about redeeming the cursed. Jesus admitting He needed redemption, humility. And once that's done, like we said last week, it was done at the sixth hour. At the sixth hour, the sun returned. The light shone. And the way I picture it in my head is, out of all the darkness, the shaft of light strikes Jesus Christ on the cross, and the light slowly returns. And when that light returns, Jesus knew it was done. It was over. So He shouts the 7th and final thing. It is finished. He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. So, Jesus had done 6 hours, and had said 6 things, and then said, okay, it's finished. When the light returned, bowed His head, and gave up His spirit. The word there means gave up His breath. Spirit and breath, same word, pneuma. This is the diminutive of that word, neo. It means to breathe. So now, this is it. Now this, it is finished. It's just one word. It's tetelestai in the Greek. And Jesus, I assume Jesus shouted it in Aramaic. He could have just as well shouted it in Greek. But we are given it in Greek. And the word is tetelestai. And we know that He shouted it. Because in Mark 15:37, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed His last. So we know what the loud cry is. Tetelestai. One word. Probably in Aramaic, but it's given to us in Greek. What this word was the word that all accountants used when they finished paying off a debt. When you had a debt, someone owed a debt to a store or a farmer, when they had accountings and debts, when that debt was fully paid, they would write that word, tetelestai. And it means finished, completed, paid in full. That's exactly what it means. It was an accounting term. It means paid in full. No further action necessary. It means all that's needed is now completed and finished. It means it's done. Just that one word. Now, compare that idea of light returning and Jesus shouting, tetelestai, shouting, it's done, it's finished, it's over, it's complete. Compare that to Genesis 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. 6 days, and God was finished. You guys understand the pattern God's put in His Word? 6 days, and God is finished with a new creation. 6 hours on the cross, and God is finished with a new creation. Y'all see the comparison? 6 days, God is finished with all of His work. 6 hours, God is finished with all of His work. They line up perfectly with 6 sayings upon the cross that reveal everything that's finished. You guys follow me on this? It is finished. You can use those 6 things He said to know what is finished. The first thing He said is forgiveness. That means sin is finished. What power does sin have if God can forgive it, Paul? So what the power of sin is death. What power does death have in the face of forgiveness? You guys understand? The first thing tells you what's finished. Sin is completely finished. It has no power. It's done. It's complete. It's paid in full. God offers us perfect forgiveness. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul, are you in the body of Christ? Baptized in the body? So when someone wants to point their finger at you and condemn you for something you've done, what does God say? I don't know what you're talking about. That Paul that did that is buried. How many people carry dead bodies into a court to prosecute them? It's stupid. So when the devil wants to condemn you, Paul, for anything you've ever done, what does God say? There is no condemnation. No. He never did anything wrong. And the body that did it is dead and buried. There's nothing to put punishment on. So sin is finished. And by a connection, death is finished. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You remember what happened in the garden when God completed His work? He made a law. Don't eat that. That's the law. If you eat that, what happens? You die. That's the law of sin and death. Sin means to fall short of God's instructions. It doesn't mean to do wrong. It means to fall short. God said, if you eat that, you die. You sin, you die. That was from the garden. What did Adam do? He sinned. What happened that very day? He died. So in God's perfect creation, the law of sin and death came in through Adam and Eve's sin, and Satan ruled the world. Now, the first saying, Father, forgive them, sin is finished. Death is finished. So what happens to the rule of Satan? It's finished. You guys starting to realize how much is finished? When he shouted, Tetelestai, it's finished, he was talking about everything. Sin, death, power of Satan. It's all finished. What happened in the garden is undone. Now God can say, I forgive it. It's done. It's like you never ate the fruit. It's like you're perfect again. That's, sin is completely finished. The next thing Jesus said was paradise. He promised paradise to a man cursed under the law, hanging on a cross. And He said, you'll be with Me. He was cursed and hanging on the cross, and He was going to be in paradise. So the second thing that is finished is God's curse from the garden. You remember what God said to Adam? You're out of here. He threw him out of the garden and said, from now on, you work. You'll eat by the sweat of your brow. You are cursed, and the land is cursed. It's going to bring forth thorns when you try to bring forth food. The curse of God. We were thrown out of paradise and cursed to work. When Jesus said it's finished, He said now paradise is open to those cursed under the law. What does that mean about God's curse on man in the earth? It's done. Paul, is paradise now open to you? But I thought God cursed Adam and all of his descendants. I thought He cursed the earth and He cursed Adam to work and toil and suffer. I thought all that in the garden, that's what happened. When Jesus said it is finished, He not only meant sin and death and the power of Satan, He meant that curse that came in the garden. Paradise is now open. The cherubim are gone. The flaming sword is gone. We can walk back into paradise. The Garden of Eden is restored. You guys understand why this lines up with the creation? 6 days, and everything's, God has created everything, and it's perfect, and He looks on it, and it's good, and man ruins it. 6 hours on the cross, everything is created brand new, and everything that man did in the garden is being undone. Sin, death, power of Satan, the curse upon man. Luke 23:43, and He said to them, truly I say to you today, you will be with Me in paradise. If He can offer that to a man cursed under the law, who else can Jesus offer paradise to? Everyone. Who has the opportunity to walk back into Eden, Paul? Every human being. born has the opportunity to walk back into Eden, to be created anew, born again in the Garden of Paradise, where you don't work. Didn't Jesus our Sabbath, Bonnie? And Paul said if you try to work for your salvation, you've fallen from grace. You guys understand? We were tossed out of the garden and told you will earn your food by the sweat of your brow. In the garden, all you do is tend to things. What's your job as Christians? Tend to each other. We're back in the garden. Tend to each other. Take care of each other. That's the only job you've got. God supplies everything else. Make it to live a quiet life. Do your own work. Mind your own business. That's Christianity. You don't have the curse is over. Paul, do you ever have to worry about if you've done enough to earn heaven? If you've done bad enough where you can't be forgiven? It's all gone. Sin is gone. Death is gone. Satan is finished. The curse that God placed on man and the earth is finished. There is no law of sin and death, therefore there is no curse. You guys follow me so far? The third thing Jesus said, a new mother, John, whose name means grace of God, is now put in place of Jesus. Mary is now his mother. Mary, the mother of Christ, the bride, the church. You guys understand that? We're given. We are put in the place of Christ, like John, because of grace. And now we are born. A brand new virgin birth. God's miracle. Same thing. Death is finished. You guys understand that? Sin is finished. The curse is finished. Death is finished. It's done. Bonnie, if there is no law of sin and death, because there is no sin, and there is no curse, and you are born again as a miracle, your virgin birth, not any effort of man, but because God said so, and you have access to paradise, what's in paradise? There were two trees. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What's the other one? The tree of life. What did the tree of life give you? Since there is no law of sin and death, and there is no curse, and we're back in paradise, Revelation 2:7, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Christians have access to the tree of life. And we know the tree of life is every word that comes out of God's mouth. We have access to every word that's come out of God's mouth. If you are allowed into paradise, access to the tree of life, and you partake of it, how long will you live, Paul? So what happened to death? Ever? What about in 10,000 years? How about in 100 million years? You guys realize why Jesus shouted the word that meant finished? Sin is finished. The curse is finished. Death is finished. We have a new mother, the bride, the church. We are born again of a miracle of God, no effort of man. God did it. And we have access in paradise to the tree of life. We will live forever. And the fourth thing, Father, why thus forsaken me, the point being Psalm 22, God's prophecy is finished. There's no more need for prophecy. Why not? That's right. How much prophecy was fulfilled at the cross? Every single bit. All of the prophecy of the Old Testament about the Messiah, the new mountain that God would make without hands, the new kingdom where God would live among His people, would make a temple not made with hands. Every single prophecy about what we got with new heaven and new earth, that it was finished. All prophecies finished. It's done. What need for prophecy? It's done. How much of God's prophecy had come true? Every bit of it. How perfectly had God's prophecies come true? Perfectly. Therefore, if God from the beginning can prophesy for thousands of years, what would happen on an exact day, at an exact time, in an exact way, if He can say that thousands of years before it happened, what does that tell you about His promises to us? How can they fail? How can we doubt? Bonnie, if everything God prophesied over thousands of years came absolutely true perfectly on the exact time, the exact day, or to the exact person in the exact way He said it would, what logical reason do you have to doubt any promise God has said to you? So you are carefree. Logically. You guys understand why it's going to take eternity to learn this? Because we still have our human nature fighting against us. The whole point of this is prophecy is finished. God is God and there is no other. You understand what all prophecy being fulfilled perfectly means? God is God and beside Him there is no other. That's what it means. Therefore, if God is God and there is no other, what does that tell you about every promise He's made to us? You don't have to worry. It says in Isaiah 46:10, He declares the end from the beginning. That's all prophecy. And from ancient times, the things which have not been done, saying, My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all My good pleasure. I do what I say. And if thousands and thousands of years of prophecy being perfectly met does not prove to you that God does what He says, what hope do you have? You guys understand? Prophecy is finished. Sin is finished. The curse is finished. Death is finished. Prophecy is finished. Everything's done. God has proved He is God. He has proved there is no other. He says, I will accomplish everything that is My good pleasure. I do what I say. Now, do you believe me or not? That's the only question mankind has now. Do you believe me or not? What does most of mankind say, Paul? I don't think God can handle my problems. Well, He prophesied things over thousands of years that came true perfectly at the exact day, time, date, in the way. And you don't think God can handle your problem? Where do you rationalize that, Bonnie? If God from the beginning can call the end, what do you have in your life that He can't handle? You know the only reason that anything in your life would be beyond control is because you try to control it. You guys understand that? All prophecy being fulfilled means stop trying to handle your own problems. Stop thinking that you can do it. What's the whole point of Christianity? You can't do it. I don't care if you give your utmost for His highest. You can't do it. Give your utmost. It'll fail. You can't do it. All prophecy being fulfilled proves that God is God. He does what He says, and you can put absolute faith in it. Once you understand that, all of your doubt and worry is finished, isn't it? Should be. The fifth thing He said, I thirst, and was given vinegar to drink. God's cup of wrath. God's wrath. And that's how God explains His wrath in all Scripture. When he says He fills His cup of wrath. It takes a lot to provoke God because God is love, but you can set Him off. And what this means is God's cup of wrath on His people is finished. That means what can Israel do to have God forgive them, to allow the law to stand, to allow the temple to stand in Jerusalem, to allow the priesthood to remain. What can Israel do to turn away God's wrath and keep the temple, the law, and the land? It's finished, guys. The temple, the law, the land, the priesthood, the genealogical, everything. It is finished at that moment when Jesus says it is finished. And there is nothing Israel can do to turn away God's wrath. The cup is full. His wrath is finished. And the day of vengeance is coming. That's what I thirst and being given vinegar to mean. The day of vengeance is coming. So, God's cup of wrath is finished. And then the sixth thing, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That's the psalm is the absolute faith in the afflicted who knows he will be redeemed by God's promise. God's new creation is finished. God's new creation is finished. When God created the first time, what's the first thing God said? In the beginning, what's the first thing He said? No, the first thing, let there be light. What happened at the sixth hour when Jesus committed His Spirit to God and finished those six things? Light. You guys understand why these two things pattern each other? Let there be light. When that light returned at the sixth hour, when God said, let there be light after 3 hours of darkness, Jesus knew it's finished. The new creation is done. The 6 hours have completed. What else was there left to do, Paul, in God's new heaven and new earth, new salvation, new priesthood, new sacrifice? What's left? God's new creation is finished because into God's hands we commit our spirit. The whole point of this, a new Adam, isn't that what the New Testament calls Jesus? The last Adam, the new Adam? The new Adam is finished. The new bride, the new Eve, finished. The new garden, the new paradise, finished. The new heaven, the new earth, finished. All of creation, God had recreated everything to its original state. A perfect sinless Adam, a perfect sinless Eve, a perfect paradise for them to live in, a tree of life, a new heaven, a new earth, it's all finished. So when Jesus cried, it's finished, when God said, let there be light at the sixth hour, and light returned, and Jesus said, that's it, it's finished. Sin is finished, the curse is finished, death is finished, all prophecy is finished, proving God is God and does what He says. God's cup of wrath is finished, proving there's nothing Israel can do to keep the law of the land of the priesthood. It's done. God will wipe it out on the exact day He said He would. And God's new creation is finished. It's all done. That means when Jesus said the seventh thing, all is finished, what was there left? You have a new heaven, a new earth, a new paradise, a new Adam, a new Eve, new life, born again. What's left? Nothing. That's it. All things are now new in Jesus Christ. Everything else is finished. All effort to reach God by works of the law is finished, guys. How many people think they have to go to church to go to heaven? They have to. It's a duty, your Christian duty, because you're righteous, you're saved because of what you do for God. You go to church, you have whole Bible studies, you knock doors, you evangelize, you send money to China, you send Bibles to Africa, and you're constantly work. The idea is to get enough works where you can be saved by God. That's all finished, guys. Anything, any system where you try to reach God by the works of your own effort is finished. Righteous through law, it means Christ died needlessly. Isn't that what it says in Galatians? If you think righteousness comes through law, Christ died for no reason whatsoever. Did the Jews understand what was finished? Did they understand they were finished? The temple was finished? The law, the land, the priesthood? Nope. Do they understand it to this day? No. They still don't understand what was finished. All effort to reach God by your own effort is finished. It's done. Don't even try. It's a waste of time. All sacrifice trying to atone for sin is finished. How many people think that they haven't sacrificed enough for God to love them? Y'all know these people? Because I sure do. I haven't sacrificed enough to be truly loved by God. I haven't sacrificed enough in order for God to really save me. I need to sacrifice more. Matter of fact, I need to take your stuff and sacrifice that. Because I've got to keep sacrificing. You know, the tears and anguish and sacrifice, the toil, the work, all the things that religion holds dear, God has stomped into the dust. You don't need any of that stuff. Paul, what sacrifice are you going to make to take away your sin? What sacrifice are you going to offer where God will say, well, that makes you even with me? There is no sacrifice, guys. There is no tithes in the New Testament. Everything you have belongs to God, not a tenth of it. Your life belongs to God, not a tenth of it. Your will should belong to God. Everything belongs to God. You don't have to work. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Sabbath. Come to me and you get rest. Give up this religious idea of toiling and working and sacrifice and bleeding and crying and weeping for God. It's all, God destroyed all that. It's all finished. Let it go. The only thing we have now is our living body, or our body as a living sacrifice. And all that means is you don't die. You take your living body and you say, God, your will, your way. Isn't that what Jesus did? He gave His body a living sacrifice. Aren't we to follow His example? How do you do that? Father, not my will. Thy will be done. That's your service. That's worship. That's it. That's the only thing. When it comes to a point where you have to decide, do I go to church today or do I skip it? Do I turn the other cheek or do I get mad? Do I hold my tongue or do I tell this person what I think of them? When you hit that decision, you say, Father, not what I want, not what I will, but Father, your will be done. That is presenting, like Jesus, your body as a living sacrifice to God's will and God's way. How many of us are doing really well on that? We've got eternity to work on it. But that's the only sacrifice you have, is to say, God, your will be done, not mine. All places thought of as holy and sacred are finished. What do the Jews think about the Temple Mount? What do they think about the retaining wall that's left from the old temple? Not the temple, but just the retaining wall. The Wailing Wall. That is the perfect picture of everything God has finished. Standing in front of a place, thinking it's sacred, putting your sacrifices and efforts in little scrolls and putting it in the wall, thinking that's righteousness, and weeping tears, begging God to say, everything you see at the Wailing Wall, God finished 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ. It's finished. But Bonnie, what would they tell you if you walked up to everybody at the Wailing Wall and you said, all this is finished. Go home. This is nothing. What would happen to you? Would we ever see you again? You understand, that's what the world continues to tell Christians. We come along and we go, all this is finished. All the Christian duty, the Christian obligation, the Christian sacrifice, all that you have to, you must, all the work and all the sat, all the tears and all the way, it's all finished. Throw it all away. What do they say to you, Elsie? You need to leave because we're dedicated Christians and you're not. Do they understand anything, Paul? They don't understand a word. They're still at the Wailing Wall. They just use Christian terminology. All places thought of as holy and sacred are finished. Is this building sacred? Does God look upon this building as anything more than the marina, the marine place next door? Nope. It's bricks and mortar. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross for bricks and mortar and cement and asphalt? How many people think their church building is sacred and holy? Do they understand anything? No, they do not. That is all finished. There is no place, no point on this earth that's holy, sacred. There is none. Not even Jerusalem. Not the Temple Mount. Not the Wailing Wall. Not nothing. Where's the temple of God now, Paul? That's right, Penny. Us. Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? How much respect were the Jews supposed to show the temple? What would happen to a Jew that disrespected the temple? What does God think when you disrespect your brethren? Are you not disrespecting the temple? Are you not spitting on God's temple? Yes, you are. You guys understand? When Jesus Christ said, love each other, and you'll know you're my disciples, He's dead serious. If you're the temple now, if Christians are the naos, the holy of holies, what would happen if somebody whipped open the curtain of the holy of holies and just ran in there and sit down and started drinking a cup? They don't respect the holy of holies. They die. How many Christians disrespect other Christians? You guys understand why these seven sayings, once you understand them, they clear all that stuff up. All that's finished. There is no building that's sacred. There is no place. We are the temple. We are to be seen as sacred and holy and respected and honored and esteemed each other. How much esteem and honor do you show your fellow Christians in your words, in your attitude, in your attendance, the way you treat each other? How much esteem and honor do visitors see when they come in and sit and people are wondering, people are playing on their phones and people are talking and whispering? How much respect and honor do visitors see God's temple being treated? You guys understand what I'm saying? When you're here in this assembly and when you're with Christians, that's good, the temple. Treat it with respect and honor. And all races, tribes, bloodlines, genders that are thought of as better and chosen are finished. You guys understand that one? Well, I'm a man, so I'm better than you, Bonnie. I'm closer to God than you are because you're just a woman and I'm a man. So I'm above you, right? Hey, no one's talking to you, little girl. So we men are the first-class Christians. You women, y'all are the second-class Christians. That's the way it is. Why are you shaking your head? Because you can point to several scriptures that say there is no rich or poor, there is no male or female, there is no Gentile or Jew, there is no bond or free. We're all one. So is there any better or worse in our genders? Does God choose my gender as better than yours? In no way ever. There is no gender that's better. What about my race? I'm white, you're not. That makes me better than you. How many people have that attitude? What does God say about that? No. She is every bit equal to God as I am. Or an Asian, or an Indian. There are no races that are better, or worse, or chosen. All are one blood. We are exactly the same in gender, in race, in tribe. Everything about us, and my wife's not a white woman, she's Native American. And we are equal in God's eyes. There is no race, tribe, gender, bloodline. All that's finished. What do the Jews think about their bloodline? It's better. It's chosen. What do they think about men over women? They're better. They're chosen. What do they think about priests over normal people? That Christianity, if you have elders who are better than the regular people, that is the opposite of what that's for. If you want to be great in Christianity, what does God tell you to do? Make yourself the least. So what should elders make themselves in every congregation? The bottom. Do they do that, Bonnie? Do they understand? You guys do, don't you? I'm the preacher. You listen to me. That makes me better. I preach the gospel and you just sit on the pew. God sees me as better than you. Nope. Matter of fact, it's warned. Don't many of you be teachers. Because what happens to teachers? Right. God is going to kick me a whole lot harder and a whole lot quicker than He will ever kick you guys. You understand why? There is no race, there is no bloodline, there is no gender. Everyone is the same. All that's finished. All our fear, all our doubt, all our effort, all our toil, everything that's joined to trying to keep laws and traditions and rules and regulations is finished. It's done. Do people understand that, Paul? Nope. They sure don't. All power that the devil had over us is finished. Well, Paul, yeah, I did that, but the devil made me do it. What do you mean, no? No. No, a demon. A demon got into my life, and its demon power, it kind of seduced me over to do what I did, and I wouldn't have, if the devil didn't have the power to bring me down. Exactly right. The power of the devil is finished. If someone says the devil made them do it, or a demon got into their life, or a demon, all that is just nonsense. You resist the devil, what does he do? He runs. He doesn't just back up. He turns and flees. A power Satan had to make you do anything is gone. You guys understand that? All possibility of being cast out of this new paradise, it's gone. If there is no sin, if there is no death, if there is no curse, what possible reason would God have to cast you out of this new paradise, Monty? Is there any possibility that you will be cast out of the body of Christ, removed from paradise? The only way you can lose paradise is you have to turn around and voluntarily walk out. That's it. So how many of you worry about your salvation? Should be zero. There's no possible way that the devil can affect you, that the devil can make you do anything. You cannot be cast out of the body of Christ. Am I saying once saved, always saved, Paul? Am I saying once saved, always saved, can't be lost? I sure am not. You are free in Christ, and you can stand up and walk out. You can walk out into the world because there's something out there that's more important to you than what God is offering in the garden. But the possibility of being cast out of the Garden of Eden is no longer there. You guys realize how much stuff is finished? Everything. We're in a new heaven and a new earth, where God's kingdom exists on earth, and earth, we of earth exist in heaven. We're already at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ. It's a new heaven. It's a new earth. We are new creations, new creatures. We have a new system. We have a new salvation, new sacrifice. Everything was made new. When Jesus Christ said it was finished, He meant everything. It is done. Finished. Completed. Tetelestai. Paid in full. There is nothing left. After He said it was finished, He bowed His head and surrendered His spirit. What more was there to do, Paul? So if everything is finished, if God has created a new heaven and a new earth and a new salvation and a new way of being born again by faith and a new paradise, new worship, new promises, if God has done all that, if we can see it's all finished, what's left for us to do but to bow our head in humility and surrender to God? You guys understand that? There is nothing left. God wants us to, like Jesus on the cross, cursed under law, suffering out in the world. Jesus Christ was suffering. When He knew that everything was finished, He bowed His head, surrendered His spirit, and what happened to His suffering, Paul? It was over. You guys want to end all the suffering in your life? You guys want to end all the pain, suffering, doubt, fear, toil? You want to end all that? Then believe. It's finished. It's done. God did everything. Bow your head in humility and surrender your spirit. Give it up. Let it go. Lose your life for Christ's sake. And then you find it. You guys understand that? And all your suffering is over. If we will bow our head and surrender to God, and the six things He said, when we learn to forgive completely, our suffering's over. If you still have hard feelings, if you still have grudges, if you still have things against people, if you still have a hard heart against, you will suffer in this life. And it's your fault. When you learn to forgive completely, under all circumstances, your suffering is over. When you stop judging others, when you refuse to judge and condemn others, but love everyone, your suffering's over. When you hold to God's every word, rather than trying to think of your own interpretation, your suffering's over. When you trust in God's every promise as guaranteed, your suffering's over. When you love your neighbor as Christ loves you, your suffering's over. You guys understand what I just said? All those six things tell you how to end all the suffering in your life. Forgive completely. I don't care what they did. Jesus Christ forgave the people that nailed Him to a cross, that spit on Him, and that lied and put Him on the cross. He forgave it all. You forgive completely. Your suffering's over. Refuse to judge others. Live and let live. Love your neighbor. All that stuff. Then your suffering is over. If you continue to forget, to refuse to forgive or accuse and condemn or set aside God's instructions to do it your own way or to trust in your own understanding or to love yourself, to please yourself above the feelings of others, the suffering won't be over. You guys understand that? It's up to you. It's over. It's finished. We live in a new heaven, a new earth. God has done everything. We are in the garden. We are born again through the water and the Spirit. And just tend to the garden. Love each other. That's it. You guys understand? And bow your head, surrender to God, and it's over. But keep trying to do it your way. Keep trying to trust your own understanding. Keep holding grudges. Keep pointing your finger and accusing. Suffering won't end. Everybody understand the lesson? Those are the seven things. And once you set them apart and you learn what each of them is and you put them all together, it's everything God wants you to know about His new kingdom. It's new. It's a new creation. When God said, let there be light, and created it new, there was light at the sixth hour. Everything's created new, and it's done. All He says is, trust Me. Any questions, comments, corrections? Did I stay in the script? Anything we can do for anybody? Anything you want to add to this? Anything you want to share with the congregation?